Hi, everyone.
Hi. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
It's episode 73 of Catnaps and Cognac.
Yay. 73, man.
Episode 73. Whoa.
This is wild.
This is wild. You know, in just a few more episodes, we're going to be at episode 100. Episode 100, we're going to do something crazy. I don't know yet, but since we're going to plan it, because, you know, I like to plan far, far, far ahead.
You do.
Will that be by the end of the year, episode 100?
I was thinking maybe it might be.
Ooh, that would be fun. I hope so. And we'll just have, like, a really awesome show. Anyway, but it's episode 73, so let's celebrate that.
Yes.
We are your host. I am Dee Dee, and this is
Ariel.
And this is Catnaps and Cognac. And if you are a return listener, thank you for coming back and listening to our random ramblings of foolishness. And if this is your first time listening, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope that you will go back and listen to the other 72 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
We got a lot for you to listen. A lot. Yeah.
So enjoy.
Good. Yeah, so get cracking.
Get crack-a-lackin'.
So, anywho, how are you, Ari?
You know what? I'm fantastic. How are you?
You know what? I'm fantastic as well.
Oh, snap. Oh, snap. Oh, snap.
Man, I'm so happy, actually, because, like, these last 2 days have been so gloomy. It was rainy. And thundery. I mean, I love thunderstorms, but, like, it was just difficult as far as, like, walking the dog. Cause she doesn't like going out in the rain.
Yeah.
Ugh. It was tough. But now we got a little sunshine. It was nice today.
And we're supposed to have a nice weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. The rain isn't going to come back until Monday. So enjoy it.
While you can.
Enjoy it while you can. Yeah. So how are you?
I'm good.
I asked you already.
Yeah, you did. That's all right. You know what? You can ask me again, and I will tell you again that I am fantastic. Okay.
I just want to hear it again.
Whew.
Yeah. So, let's get into the show.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, let's see. You know, I love books. We both love books.
Yes.
And, it seems like the rage nowadays are subscription-based services. You have subscription-based services for your music, like Spotify, Google Play Music. There's Netflix and Hulu. And now there's books. There's been a, I don't know when it launched, but there's been a service called Oyster, where you pay $10 a month. And you pretty much have, like, an unlimited supply of the books that they offer in their library for you to read. And it's an ebook subscription. So, you know, you get it on your iPad or your iPhone. And now it's available for Android as of last month. And it turns out that Amazon is testing their own ebook subscription service for $9.99 a month called Kindle Unlimited. And it's for ebooks and audiobooks. And people who choose this option will have unlimited access to over 600,000 titles and thousands of audiobooks on any device for $9.99 a month. So, it looks like it says most of the test pages were pulled down as of Wednesday after some users on the Kindle boards noticed them, but they're still available through Google Cache. And some are still live on Amazon sites. So, it says that it's been rumored for a few months. And it will compete with the services like Oyster. And there's another one called Scribd. But they're just talking about launching the actual service. So, they have 638,416 available titles. Which is a freaking lot. I feel like what turns me off, I kind of wanted to try Oyster, but what turns me off about it is I feel like there's not going to be, I feel like they have 100,000 titles, and 100,000 still is a lot to choose from, but if it's 100,000 of books I really don't care for, like books written by James Patterson or Carl Hyson or what's that lady, like, what's her name? Janet, whatever her name is. She has, like, she goes through, like, all the alphabet books and the murder. Janet Evanovich, or her, whatever her last, however you say her last, Evanovich, I don't know. But y'all know who I'm talking about. I don't want to read that shit. So, if the 600,000 titles can give me something that I would be looking forward to read, I feel like I would be all for it.
Yeah.
Especially when you can't get those books at the library. Especially right. If there's no waiting time for it. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. And especially if they offer new releases.
Yeah.
That would be great.
This is great service.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome. Because I was just talking to Ari earlier saying how I was just going to go to the library tomorrow to get some, like, random books. Because it's been a very long time since I read a book. It's been about 2 months. The only thing I've been reading, basically, is Twitter. So I need to get some books. So this would be awesome to have this kind of service for, you know, $10 a month. And you can, they even have audiobooks that you can listen to, which is great.
Because
sometimes, you know, when you're washing dishes and things like that, like, you can't necessarily read the book. And you want to read, you know, you want to keep listening or keep reading, but you can't because your hands are tied. Or maybe you're, you know, you're doing something, you're walking your dog, but you still want to, you know, get into the book. So I love audiobooks for that. So that's really cool that Amazon is rolling this out. And it's compatible with every device, right? Like all devices, Android, iPhone, iPad, anything.
Yep.
That's cool.
I think it's cool too. And it looks like for the most part, they have pretty well known publishers. The only publisher that I don't see on here is like Penguin and Random House, but I feel like they merged. But I'm not sure.
Those are the two that I was gonna say. I was gonna say, watch it be Penguin and Random House.
That's yes. They have Bloomsbury, Harvard University Press, Houghton Mifflin, W.W. Norton. I mean, they're well known.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're offering like the Hunger Games series, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Life of Pi, like popular titles.
Nice.
So yeah, I would totally be here for it. The only thing that I'm not like a huge fan of Kindle is like I don't have a Kindle, I don't have a tablet, so I'm reading these on my Samsung Galaxy S3, and I prefer to read books in my Google Books app. Mm-hmm. But I mean, shit, if I have to read it through Amazon Kindle, I ain't gonna complain.
Right.
Not like that.
Do they have a Kindle app for your phone?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I just... read from your Google Books app?
Yeah, I don't know. I noticed that I finish more books from my Google Play app versus my Kindle app. Okay. I don't know if it's just because of the way the layout is. I think it might just be because, I think it's because of the layout and, it has easier readability.
Got it.
For me, but shit. Like I said, if I had to take reading the books on the Kindle, then I might have to do it.
Exactly. For $9.99, that's actually pretty good. That's really good.
Yeah.
I had heard about Oyster, and so, but I never like signed up for it, mainly because they had such limited titles. Or only 100,000. I was like, why should it be like 100,000 books in that I don't really care for, or probably books that I had already read anyway. And that's what I found.
Yeah.
That most of the titles I had read already, or it wasn't really anything that I was super interested in. But that was when they first came out. So I haven't gone back to see, you know, what they offer now. If they've gotten new books into their library or anything like that. I don't know. I haven't checked out. But when Amazon comes out through the gate with 600,386,
I mean, you know, hello, like, it's no competition. Sorry, Oyster. I don't really like oysters like that. No way.
Right.
No, I'm playing. Oh, okay, so I just Googled. It looks like they now have over 500,000 books on Oyster.
Oh, okay.
So they're stepping it up.
They're stepping it up. All right.
They're stepping it up, but it's still the same price. You know, I would definitely be willing to try a trial from either one of these to see how I like them.
Trial.
Yeah, a free trial. You got it. Hello.
Free trial.
A free trial. Let me know when my week about to be up so I can cancel that just in case.
Like Nito.
Like. Okay, so it looks like Simon and Schuster just joined Oyster, so no wonder they have so many more books.
Ah, okay.
Oh my gosh, this is such, like, nerdism.
It is, but I love it. Love it. Go read a book, guys.
Read a book, motherfucker. Read a book. You remember that song? You know the song I'm talking about, right?
Yes!
Like, damn, it's gotta be like that. Why I gotta be a motherfucker to read a book?
Well, we hope that this excited you as much as it excited us, because we love books.
Yes, yes.
This is great. And I hope they are offering at least a week free trial.
Nah, bruh. For books, you need a month.
That's true.
You need a month.
Yeah, you're right. We do need a month.
Uh-huh. At least give us the same time. Okay, and Oyster does give a month. So it's like, at least give us the same time as we would get when we check out books from the library.
Oyster gives a month free?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll be signing up for Oyster.
But then again, you never know, like, what might be included with the Amazon. You're an Amazon Prime user, so maybe...
Oh, yeah, yeah, maybe... Ooh,
that could be... That might be included. We don't know. It's a test, so... You know. You never know.
Well, I hope...
Our options are endless.
Yeah, that would be great.
Ooh.
I hope it is. I really do hope it is. That would be awesome.
That would be a great selling point, yeah.
Yes.
To have definitely, all that, to have all, because it now includes music too, right?
What, the Prime?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know if it does, then I need to go and get my life together. If it does, I don't know. I only go to watch, watch Frasier.
Oh, girl.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. However, let's talk about that real quick.
Sure.
Amazon, I don't know if anybody from Amazon is listening, but if you are, someone needs to fix this whole watching the TV show. Like, if there are, I don't know, if there are 12 episodes in a season, I want it to, like, on Netflix, the next episode just, you know, plays right after. But on Amazon, it will stop and go back to the main screen, and it goes back to the page of the episode that you just watched. So, like, if you just watched episode 2, once you're done with episode 2, it goes back to the main screen and it's on episode 2. It doesn't, like, go to, you know, at least to episode 3 for you to just click play.
Mm.
You have to go back down and scroll to look for episode 3 and then hit play next.
Boo.
You guys need to fix that. Or if you're watching the episode, you have to be watching very intently and play next up before it, you know, loops and goes back to the main page.
Boo.
I don't like that, Amazon. You paying too much money for Amazon Prime for it to be whack.
Is it like that on the computer too, or is it just on your Roku?
No, it's like that on the computer. I haven't even watched Amazon Prime on my TV in I don't know how long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on the computer like that, but it's also on the TV like that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like that on both. At least on Netflix on the TV or on the Roku, it goes back to the main page. However, it goes to the next episodes. If you just watch episode 3 and it ends, then episodes, the you know, thing and the plot or the B.O.B. for episode 4 comes up and then you can click play. Doesn't do that for Amazon.
Got it.
Back to the main page of the same episode that you just watched, which is wild annoying. Because I was like, okay, you know, because I'm used to Netflix. So I was just like, all right, let me hit click play. And I'm like, I just watched this episode. I'm annoyed.
You're losing.
Yeah.
So I Googled it for you, and it does include Amazon Prime Music, which is similar to Spotify.
Oh! I'm gonna be getting my groove on tomorrow. Dance naked in front of the mirror.
Oh! A ding ding.
Just kidding. I'm not gonna do that.
She's lying.
I'm just kidding. Maybe in my underwear. No.
You gotta do that sometimes. We all
sometimes
do it.
It's fun.
Like, at least once a week.
You have to. You have to dance in your mirror, in your drawers, at least.
At once least.
Have a dance party.
Or at most. Oh. naked.
N-A-K-I-D. Naked.
You better do it till you're satisfied. All right, what's next?
Moving on. Well, so we talked about it last week, and we were talking about how, you know, LeBron was deciding if he wanted to, you know, where he was going to go. Honestly, I really didn't think that he was going to leave the Heat. But then there was, like, all the stuff, like, oh, yeah, you know, he arranged for his cars to be moved. And then he called the city of Cleveland and told them to, you know, call the cops and have them surveil his house or be around his house or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So, in the end, LeBron left. Are we sad? No. You know, Miamians are not sad about it. You know, he came down for 4 years. He did a good job. We got 2 rings. We went to the finals each and every time that he was here. So, you know, it was great. And we wish him well because he made a decision for his family, and I have to commend him for that. He didn't make a decision based on anybody else but what was going to be best for his family. And that's what I really, really liked about his decision. However, you know, the way that Dan Gilbert, like, dragged him through the mud when he left, I really do believe that Dan Gilbert owes him a public apology for the way that he treated him. And also, that letter that he wrote,
yeah,
it was just really nasty. It was on the website for 4 years.
Like, you wildin' for that, my dude. Like, get over it.
Right. Like, calm down. Like, the thing is, it kind of just feels like, you know, he was mad that one of his slaves, you know, got free, like, emancipated. That's what it kind of feels like. One of his boys left, and not boy as a friend, but boy as one of his servants left, and he was really tight about it. And, you know, I've been, now, miraculously, all these Cleveland fans are popping up on my timeline, which is very weird because I know I don't follow any Cleveland people. So for me to see all these Cleveland fans, I was like, wait, what? Hold on. So one person tweeted onto my timeline and they were like, oh, you guys think that the letter was purposely left up there for 4 years?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Why wouldn't it have been? You dummy. Don't do that. Don't do that.
First of all, it shouldn't have been up there in the first place.
Right. And for you to even think that, oh, it was left there mistakenly, no, ma'am, no, sir. I tweeted the person, like, the face, like, really? The really face, like, the straight face. are you for real? So, yeah, I do believe that he is owed a public apology. I don't know if he's ever spoken to the guy. I was talking to a friend of mine who knows about basketball, you know, the whole, you know, interrelations, and they were saying how, you know, he may not necessarily have even spoken to Dan Gilbert. Because my thing was, I was like, how was the offer even put on the table for him to come back to Cleveland? Like, did Dan Gilbert say, hey, we want you to come back? Like, how did that even happen? They were like, well, maybe most likely Dan Gilbert didn't talk to him. It's probably like the president of the association, president of the team. Like, Pat Riley is the one who's doing the, you know, negotiating things or whatever, talking to people. Whoever their president is for the Cleveland Cavs is probably the one who, you know, was doing the whole talking, like, hey, we want you to come back, here's the terms, and blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know, that's my thing, that's the long and short of it, and the top and bottom of it. We did have a mural down south it took an artist 2 years to make.
Dang.
2 years. And then somebody defaced it. They spray painted LeBron's face black. And I can bet you money that that was not a real Miami Heat fan. That was probably most likely a LeBron fan or someone who was not originally from Miami.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very crazy. I would bet money. Because the thing is, look, in Miami, we too damn hot to get mad, okay? So when you get mad, you get hot. We not trying to get any hotter than we already are. As far as temperature-wise, but we are very hot, physic-wise.
Okay, girl.
And that's the reason why these people up north are so damn angry. Because y'all need heat. Y'all need to generate the heat so you get mad all the time. We feel the heat down in our soul. It's in our song. Hello? Can you feel the heat down in your soul? Okay.
Good night.
Anyway, I've been gabbing a lot. What do you think about LeBron going back to Cleveland?
You know what? I read his essay, and I think it was really awesome, like, his reasoning. I mean, I'm not a basketball fan like that, or, sorry, I'm not a basketball fan, so, I was just thinking, like, why would he go back to the Cavaliers after he left there, you know, his whole reasoning, like, he wanted to get a ring, he got 2 rings, so why, and, you know, like, why wouldn't you want to continue that streak? Like, you were in the finals for 4 years, like, since you left that team.
Right.
So why would you want to go back to a team that just wasn't doing it for you? But I just liked how he explained or he positioned that playing in Miami was like playing in college. And so now he's gone back to pretty much do what he still wants to do. Like, he still wants rings, but it's like now it's time to bring a ring home. Like, they haven't had one, so
right.
So let's bring it there. Like, whether or not he had some other, like, ulterior motive for going back to Cleveland, I don't know. I just feel like his reasoning was kind of amazing, like, with everything that he said.
Yeah.
Like he said, I'm not promising a championship. I know how hard it is going to be to deliver. We're not ready right now. And, of course, I want to win next year, but I'm realistic. It'll be a long process. Much longer than it was in 2010. My patience will get tested. I know that. I'm going to be in a situation with a young team and a new coach. I will be the old head, but I'll get a thrill out of bringing a group together and helping them reach a place they didn't know they can go. Like, how nice is that?
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. Whatever.
good luck to LeBron, and, you know, we wish him well. Thank you for the time that you spent in Miami. Go back home and do what you got to do. And we're not going to drag you through the mud. Like, that's definitely not a Miami style. We're, you know, very happy. However, the bandwagon got so light, the Miami Heat bandwagon, a lot. Matter of fact, there was this one guy that was following me, and I was following him, and I thought he was a Heat fan. He was actually a LeBron fan. And then all I saw was Cleveland Cavs pop up on my timeline. I was like, oh, no, unfollow.
Oh.
Immediately. He was a LeBron fan.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So, I was just like, whoa, no. I thought he was a Heat fan this whole time, like, because that's why he started following me. I was tweeting stuff about the Heat, you know, of course, during the championships and whatever, and so I got a lot of followers because of that, and he was one of them, but I thought that he was, like, from Miami and was a real Miami Heat fan. No, sir. He is a LeBron fan.
That is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, and so, like, they were saying how, you know, like, 300,000, you know, people who were following the Miami Heat, like, our follower count dropped. And I was like, yeah, the bandwagon is light. That's better. It's just going to be easier for us to get to where we got to go.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
What I didn't like about the whole thing is it just seems like people were more concerned with, like, what am I trying to say? Okay, you don't like LeBron, you don't like LeBron, that's fine. You don't like the Heat, don't like the Heat. But, like, why do you spend time bashing another player or bashing another team more than you're bigging up your own team? Like, that exactly. Shit does not make sense to me. Like,
it doesn't.
And coming, like, being, I guess, an outsider to the sports world, like, you really see it. And it's so weird. Like, it's so weird.
It really is. It really, really is. Like, for me, honestly, I couldn't care less about any team, what they're doing, whose stats, blah, 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 blah. Like, when my team wins, my team wins. When my team loses, and that's what I see. Like, you know what? But when my team beats somebody, it's not like, oh, you lost, da da da. I'm happy that my team won. I don't care. The loss of the other team is not what makes me happy. It's my team winning that makes me happy.
Right.
However, a lot of other people, they don't think that way. They are happy that the other team lost and not really happy about their team winning, which is wild to me. Wild.
Yeah.
It's so crazy how people focus their energy.
That I definitely don't understand.
Yeah, you guys got to do better. As far as fans are concerned, and then also the whole taking it so seriously, like, It's sports. I love sports. However, it doesn't affect my life. It's not gonna. It doesn't. Tomorrow, you know, when the Heat lose, and when the Heat win, my reaction time is the same. So if I'm happy, I'll be. the Heat win, I'll be happy for 5 minutes, and then I go about my day. If you lose, I'll be happy for I'll be sad for 5 minutes, and then I go about my day. Like, it's not like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. Oh my God, the Heat lost last night. I can't believe it. Blah 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 blah. It's always the same for me. Because at the end of the day, this doesn't dictate my life or what I do or how I function. Like, if I were to let sports affect my life like that, I would just jump off of a bridge.
Right.
You know, because I would be a manic depressive person.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and a lot of these people, they take sports so seriously. And it's just like, okay. Because, you know, since I'm a Heat fan, I get flack a lot. And people, and whenever the Heat would lose, or, you know, when the Heat lost, you know, the championships this year, I was getting texts like, oh my God, your boys lost. And I'm like, yeah, they lost. And they're like, aren't you upset? I'm like, well, I was upset, you know, 20 minutes ago, but I'm not upset anymore. Yeah, whatever. That's what all Heat fans say. Y'all did it. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's like you want me to be mad.
You want me to be mad. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Oh, so you're not going to react? No, I'm not. They lost. Okay. What's for dinner? What are we talking about? I don't know. People take sports very, very seriously. I'm not one of those people who take sports that seriously. However, that doesn't make me any less of a fan than somebody else, because somebody tried to test my fandom, and I'm like, just because you let it affect your life doesn't mean that I don't like sports.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Somebody was like, oh, you're not a real sports fan. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not a real sports fan? Just because you are so emotional about it, that makes me not a real sports fan? You have to chill, bro.
Chill, chill, chill. Well, it'll be interesting to see what'll happen this upcoming basketball season.
Yeah, definitely, because, like, Vegas, they have these boards where they put, like, who's slated to win the next championship, and our chances went from, like, you know, 1 out of 50 to 50 to 1.
Dang.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to see next season how it all turns out.
Before we move on, what was funny that came out of this? Well, all those memes about Dwayne Wade, I'm not going to lie, those shits were funny.
Those were funny.
Those were hilarious.
However, you know what? The deal that he got, even though he opted out, is still not that bad, because before he opted out, it was $42 million. Now it's $37 million. Oh, dear. He lost $5 million. I mean, I'm sure that it doesn't hurt him that much. For me, yes, $5 million is a lot of money. But for a guy who's going to be making $37 million instead of $42 million, I mean, his knees are bad anyway, so he deserves that. Yeah, he should be happy that he even got that much, because his knees are bad and he's getting old. So. Yeah, but those memes were funny.
They were hilarious. All those pictures, oh my gosh.
They were great. And how does he have so many questionable pictures like that? Where they were able to make these memes. Like, people on the internet are great. You guys are great sleuths. You guys are great graphic artists. You guys are great.
Right.
And I just wish that you guys would use your talent for good. Like, you guys should be working with top news networks doing graphics for them.
Something.
Investigative reporting. You guys are great.
Completely great.
Yeah. Because there'll be somebody on Catfish, and in 5 minutes, we will have that person's at name.
Yes. Always. Always. But what's even more hilarious, though, is that person will always have, like, seen on MTV's Catfish, like, in their bio already. Like, dang, you was waiting for this moment.
You was waiting for this episode to air, huh?
Waiting. All right. I was like, you got it. You got it. You want to be known. You got it. You at it, bruh.
Okay.
And we're back. All right. So up next is Today I Learned.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a Today We Learned.
Yes, Today We Learned.
So Ari hit me up earlier today, and she's like, hey, you want to know what reading level you tweet at? And I'm like, fifth grade? That's what, and I just threw it out there. And I was correct.
Yeah.
I tweet at a fifth grade reading level.
So So this was from Time. This was on July 8th. Time is cool now because Time is cool because like they come out with these like these different tools for social media. I know that they had one a few months ago, like how much time have you wasted on Facebook? And that one was actually hilarious. So now they have this how smart are your tweets, pretty much. So Didi and I, we both tweet at a fifth graded reading level. And I'm not sure why they came up with this. But they said, according to Time's analysis of a million public tweets, 33% of tweets test at a fourth grade reading level. The test relied upon a commonly used reading comprehension survey known as SMOG, or Simple Measure of Gobbledygook, really, that's what it is, to assess the complexity of messages sent on the social network. Gobbledygook is defined as a word or of three or more syllables. So, who uses the most gobbledygook? Can you take a guess? Can you take a guess, Didi?
Who uses the most gobbledygook? What is gobbledygook? Three words with three or more syllables?
Yes. All right.
Michelle Obama.
Okay, close, but it's politicians. It's a group of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, it says, the SMOG results show that the most tweets require no more than a fourth grade education to comprehend. Of course, a tweet's limit of 140 characters make it difficult to compose a message at a higher reading level, but it's not impossible. The test did pick up a handful of 12th grade tweets, like one from the senior curator at the Museum of Modern Art, Design and Violence, Nivedita's Menon's powerful essay on the mini revolver marketed by women to the Indian government. So they, I guess, read at 8-12.
So that one tweet was a 12th grade level tweet?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I've got college level tweets somewhere in there, damn it.
I don't know, girl.
Shit.
So you know it's hilarious because me and my coworker, we both retweeted at a fifth grade college level, and we were like, nah, we want to be able to tweet at a higher level. So today when we were at work, we decided to look up words, like words of the day from the dictionary.com. Mm-hmm. And we would just tweet one word. We picked like, I want to say like at least 10 words that were used as word of the day, and they were like, nah, we're gonna make this even better. We started tweeting in Latin.
I saw that.
Yeah, but you know what it did? We got bumped up to sixth grade.
Nice!
Yeah, so I mean, this all makes sense because I did not read this until now with the reasoning as to why the tweets are graded. So it makes sense that us speaking in Latin would bump us up, or us using those words from the words of the day from dictionary.com would bump us up another level.
Well, how rude. I tweet in French all the time.
Doesn't matter. I tried tweeting in German. It didn't work.
Woof.
Exactly. But it's cute. This is cute. So I don't know. I feel like maybe I might be more mindful in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Use different type of wording and stuff like that. But I'm back at a fifth grade level now.
Oh, well, hell.
Once I started tweeting regular, I'm out.
Well, it seems like almost everybody is around, like, the fifth grade level. Again, you know what? I mean, it does, the whole being limited to 140 characters, you can't be extremely verbose or use, you know, words that have three or more syllables, because then you're cutting up into your character limits.
Right.
So, you do have to, you know, dumb it down, I guess, to get your point across. I know I most certainly don't speak at a fifth grade level. How dare I?
The goal! So it looks like the most common is fourth grade, and then the next most common would be second grade. And I'm chalking that up to the fact that a lot of people tweet. Like, if you look at how kids tweet, it's just like IKR for like I know, right? Or ILU for I love you, or stuff like that.
You know what? Let's talk about that real quick.
Okay.
I hate seeing AF and TF. know why, but it bothers the hell out of me. Like, I hate when I see, yo, I'm hungry AF.
Yes, I mean, you could have spelled that shit out.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why, but it bothers me so much. Or like, YTF would I blah, blah, blah. I'm like, just say it. I don't know why. I really don't know why, but it really irks me to the point where I have muted the letters AF and TF.
Wow.
I don't want to see it. It annoys me.
Wow.
WTF is cool. But then when you're like, TF, are you talking about? Like, no. No, 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 no. You could just say the fuck or whatever. Just type it out. At that point.
I would agree. Some things, they just need to be spelled out.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you are so, except for, like, STFU or whatever, but if you're so brave enough to say, like, shit like TF, just spell it out.
Just spell it out.
Unless you really can only use two characters. If you're, like, retweeting someone, if you have to.
I don't know. Well, I'm going to be missing a lot of those tweets then if there's anybody tweeting stuff like that. However, I do like GTFOH. I love that one. Every time I see that one, I laugh.
I love GTFOHWTBS. I love that one because it's like so much. Like, the way I picture it, how people are saying it is like, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. That's exactly how I pictured him saying it.
I love GTFOH. I love FOH. I love GTFOH. WTBS. I love them. Those cracked me up because I could just see the person like in such disgust saying it.
Yes.
Like, fuck out of here with that shit.
It cracks me up. Oh man.
However, I hate AF and I hate TF. Please don't use
it. Yeah, please chill.
They're annoying AF. So, you are annoying AF. What? Just type it out.
Oh my God. So I saw a retweet today and it was like parents are using like a service to decipher what their kids are like texting to them or texting. And it was so funny because it said like they're on to us. But the picture was, like, for acronyms, it was, like, going to a drug party. So, it was, like, GTDP. Like, it was such crazy stuff. Like, beating up bums. Like, it was crazy. It was so funny.
Are people really using acronyms?
No. It was one of them was, like, trying heroin tonight. Like, it was wild. It was wild, but I was like, come on, guys. But the funny part was that it said they're on to us.
That is funny.
Yeah.
However, yo, with this whole time thing, now I am going to be a lot more, you know, aware and conscious about what I'm tweeting and hopefully sounding a little bit more intellectual when I do tweet. And maybe I can get bumped up to the sixth grade level. However, I probably won't because, like I said, it's still very difficult to type, you know, words that are more than three syllables long because they take up a lot of characters.
Yeah.
But and that ain't sometimes you just want to be short and concise.
You're right.
With what you say.
You are right.
Alright. But this is fun, so you guys should try it out. We will put the link on the website so that you guys can check it out and we'll tweet it too so you can, you know, put your name in and see what grade level you're tweeting at.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not second or fourth, second grade. That's very elementary.
Yeah, extremely.
We want you to be at least at average.
Yeah.
Because we're above average.
Ha ha. Ow. Oh, let's not brag.
I'll brag. Above average, hey.
Oh my gosh, what's next?
Do your chores at least before we start talking about TV. And if you have any summer reading, hopefully you did it. And if you don't have any summer reading, make sure you go to oyster.com and get your free month trial.
Yes.
So it is TV time. What do we have up first?
Okay, so this was fun. This was on grantland.com. They have a post on their site called The Twin Awards, The Best and Worst of Actors pulling double duty. So it was like an actor who played a twin or played like their evil twin or something like that on the show. So some of the best that they said was Lindsay Lohan playing a twin in The Parent Trap.
Oh yeah.
Yo, I loved The Parent Trap.
She is my favorite. That is my favorite version of Parent Trap. Forget you, Hayley Mills. Lindsay Lohan murdered that
She
role.
Killed it. Ugh. She killed it. And she killed that little British accent. It was so good.
And she was speaking in French. You better work it, Lindsay Lohan.
So they said in 1998, Lindsay Lohan starred in The Parent Trap, a movie in which she was basically forced into being a 12-year-old Machiavelli twice at the same time. And they have that in all caps. We don't need to fully recount the unspooling Lohan has suffered professionally and personally since then. Just know there is a I guess they have like a something in Wikipedia about her, I guess, unraveling. But this was definitely one of her best performances ever. And I would have never known that she wasn't a twin. Like, the way that they did it in the actual movie was, like, seamless. Yeah. It was seamless.
Yeah. They did a really, really good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, for me, I think that was when I was first introduced to Lindsay Lohan. I don't remember her being in anything else before that.
Me too.
So, I was just like, oh my god, this little girl is so awesome. I love her. I love this movie.
Yo, no lie, I would watch Parent Trap, like, once a week.
I love it. If it comes, we get excited whenever it comes on now. Like, we're like, my God, Parent Trap is on Hallmark!
I think it's on Netflix right now.
Stop it right now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Gotta watch it. Gotta watch it. I love that movie. I love it. What else did they talk about?
It said the most surprising twinmanship was Armie Hammer in The Social Network. So they play. He played the Vinkel twins.
Oh, it was just one guy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, him, and it says the best twins who weren't actually twins, and that went to Jaleel White for playing Steve Urkel and Stefan Urkel.
Wow!
Yo, Stefan loved dancing, and he loved, like, doing body rolls.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Linen suits. Get out of here.
Oh, my gosh. So, in this, they said that none of them, such as, people who are playing, like, the non-twin or whatever, none of them, not a single one, did it better than Jaleel White as Steve Urkel and Stefan Urkel from the sitcom Family Matters. What nuance, what depth, what duality. Amazing. I think he was a good one too.
I think he was.
My favorite episode was when he first became Stefan Urkel, and he had to take like Tums tablet to turn back into Steve.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that was, or the communion wafer. That's what I imagined it was.
And then was that where he was like jolt and shake?
Yes. Yes.
Oh Lord.
Yes. Yes. Okay? He was crazy.
Did I do that? Hey, baby. Oh my god.
Yes. Nani cheese.
Why didn't he like cheese? Ew.
Oh my gosh. And then just to wrap it up, most recently, Chris and Cliff Paul from the State Farm commercials. I think those commercials are really cute.
I think so, too.
It says, devastating in the pick and roll, furiously competitive, nice teeth. That's all I'm really hoping for. Whoever wrote this is funny.
They are funny.
Yeah. So, those are the good twins from TV.
Did they miss any?
I mean, well, they have a good amount on the list. Oh, okay. But, like, the Ghost Twins from Matrix Reloaded, Lisa Kudrow from Friends, she played her and her sister, or Phoebe and her sister. Some I've never seen, like, some movies that I've never seen, like, Leaves of Grass. It says most offensive twins goes to Edward Norton of Leaves of Grass. Jackie Chan played twins in the movie Twin Dragons. Spock played his evil twin on Star Trek. So, I don't know, but I do think the award should go to Lindsay Lohan. I'm gonna give it to her.
Yeah, she deserves it.
Definitely.
She gets it.
Definitely. Yeah. What's next in TV time?
Well, so I just found out, you know, we like to, you know, indulge in, you know, reality TV. Even though we love scripted TV, reality TV is a weakness of ours. And I found out about a new show which has me like, whoa. The show is called Married at First Sight. So basically, it's based on the hit Danish format of Married at First Sight. And it's an extreme social experiment following six brave souls who are yearning for a lifelong partnership as they agree to a provocative proposal, getting legally married the moment they first meet. So, four specialists, a sexologist, Dr. Logan Lekov, a spiritualist, Greg Epstein, a psychologist, Dr. Joseph Salona, and a sociologist, Dr. Pepper Schwartz, will create what they believe are three perfect couples based on scientific matchmaking. The couples will never meet or know each other until they walk down the aisle and see each other face-to-face for the first time when they get married. Each episode of Married at First Sight will follow the classic lifestyle stories of the newlyweds, from the honeymoon to early nesting to other relatable events of married life. After several weeks together, each couple must make a decision. Do they remain together or decide to separate? This is crazy. Yeah, this is nuts. I would never sign up for a show like this. However, I'm very intrigued. It is on the FYI Network. I don't know if people have this channel. I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it either.
Yeah. It's on the FYI Network. And so these people basically get married the day that they meet.
It's the newfangled arranged marriages.
Yeah.
The new age.
The new age. That's exactly what it is. A new age arranged marriage. And on the cast, they have Courtney and Doug, Jamie and Jason, and Monet and Vaughn. That's the black couple. And everybody is seemingly attractive, these people.
You have to be. It's television.
Yeah. They're all seemingly attractive. Let's see where Monet is from. Let's see this is the black girl. She's a 33-year-old product development manager in the fashion industry, born in New York City and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. She moved back to New York to pursue her dream of working in fashion. She considers herself a daddy's girl. Her father, also her best friend, passed away 4 years ago. She's looking for a partner just like him, an alpha male, man's man. Monet has poured a lot of money into online dating and has been single for 5 years. With two long relationships under her belt, she believes she's been unsuccessful in love due to her trust issues, both with herself and with others. Monet's ideal partnership is one that has a foundation of mutual consideration and respect. And so the guy that she was matched with, his name is Vaughn. He's 30 years old, and he's a field service technician from Long Island, New York. After spending 11 years in the military as an avionics technician, he left the Air Force in 2013 and is ready to find love. Vaughn's most relevant relationship has been a long-distance one that continued on and off for 5 years. Vaughn's ideal spouse is attractive, expressive, and outgoing to complement his introverted self. An adventurer and a cook, Vaughn wants his spouse to share these similar interests. He considers himself OCD with his relationships and is a self-proclaimed traditionalist when it comes to gender roles, wanting to provide and protect his spouse and family. So it kind of sounds like they would be good for each other since she wants an alpha male. I do want to watch the show now to see what happens.
Here's the thing though. It's like when love isn't scientific. Like I understand where they're coming from with that. But like the way love is, like, it's like you choose to love someone. Like love is a choice. And granted, this might be cool to base your relationship on something to quantify, but I don't know, like, that's not what love is about.
Well, that's the thing. They're putting these people together not because they think that they're going to fall in love, but it's basically kind of like online dating, but in real life. It's a whole matchmaking service, really. So, I mean, they're putting these people together thinking that they're going to be compatible just off of the things that they say that they like. Like, I want a man who's an alpha male and blah, blah, blah. This man, he wants a woman who is who's, you know, traditional and into gender roles. Let's put them together. And they can choose to either fall in love or maybe not. Or they won't fall in love. And, I mean, however, they're already married at this point. So, you know, they can either decide to stay married or get it annulled, I'm assuming. I guess they have that option to be able to get it annulled. This is a crazy social experiment. Me, myself, personally, I would not be able to sign up for something like this.
No.
Because that is too crazy for me. If it was a date, I don't know about being married. That's the thing. Married, to me, marriage is so permanent, and it's something so serious. So for me to see married at first sight, like I'm just going to walk down the aisle to some man that I don't know. Now that's cuckoo crazy.
Yeah.
I can't do it. More power to these people. And I am going to watch the show to see how it all pans out, what happens. Cause I'm very, very curious to see if any of these couples actually like do fall in love. I mean, because they have the things, you know, because of science or whatever they use, whatever, calculations that they use or logarithms they use to find these people to put them together, hopefully it will prove to be something successful and maybe these people can, you know, start a long lasting relationship. Because you know what, a lot of arranged marriages, a lot of the time the people, of course, they did not love the person that they got married to, but over time they did.
Yeah,
they fall in love. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're just in the marriage just because it was arranged. But then sometimes it works out and they are happy that they, you know, it was arranged or whatever. So maybe this might work out for them.
Yeah, hopefully it does work out. The only thing I would be nervous about is if you're being truthful in your profile and the person that you're matched up with is not.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like in order for something like this to work, you would really have to go through, like, a psychological test, like with that other, you know, I don't know. Like it just has to be really truthful. Like you can't play no games with shit like this.
Yeah. Well, they have all these doctors, sociologists and psychologists, you know, so I'm sure they ran some rigorous tests because this is, it's almost borderline unethical for them to kind of do this because it's just really weird. You're messing with people's emotions. So I'm sure they had, you know, very rigorous tests as far as like making sure that these people are mentally stable, making sure that these people are telling the truth about themselves and what they want out of a partner. And, you know, so, it's very interesting. I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued and I do want to watch it. And if you are interested in watching it, it comes on the FYI Network. New episodes are on Tuesdays. 9 Eastern Standard Time, 10 Pacific.
I would definitely be interested in pirating this show.
Yeah. I think the first episode is on YouTube. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. First episode's on YouTube. So, I'm definitely going to be watching it. I'm going to watch it. Because I'm so curious. I just want to see how the first episode goes. I mean, they even go on a honeymoon. Can you imagine having sex with someone that you just don't? Well, you know what? Some of y'all do that anyway. So, boo. But can you imagine that? Just like sleeping with someone that you just met, like you don't know them from Adam, like ew.
And you're married.
And you're married, like. And what if this traditionalist guy is like, "Well, you're my wife now. You have to give me sex."
Oh gosh.
Oh God.
It's like introducing Dorothy Dandridge.
Oh my Lord.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. But more power to y'all who did it. And I hope that y'all found love and are married now and have stayed married.
Yeah.
That would be really great. That would be awesome. Well, we're going to move on from crazy married people.
Yes.
And so it is July. It's a nice, warm summer month. And what goes great in the summer?
I think it might be ice cream.
Yes!
Whoop whoop!
So, it is National Ice Cream Month.
Uh-huh.
Why are we not celebrating? I should be having ice cream every day.
I've had some ice cream sandwiches.
Mmm. Where'd you get them?
They had them at work. Like, just regular-ass ice cream sandwiches, but they're my favorites.
Yummy! So, you know what? I'm nervous to ask you this, because the last time I asked you what this question, the answer that I got was hilarious.
Okay, guys. I love ice cream. I'm gonna just get this out the way. I have a million favorite ice creams. Okay? Sue me.
Favorite ice creams, Ariel.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you my first favorite, my second favorite, and my next favorite ice cream. And they're all Ben and Jerry's.
Okay.
I'll keep it simple.
Okay.
Even though I do love a whole lot more. I have like 17 favorites. But I love red velvet. Mm. I love the pumpkin cheesecake.
Ooh.
Ice cream. And I love, you know what? I'm going to take it to Häagen-Dazs. And I, even though it's technically not ice cream, but I do love their salted caramel gelato.
That fits into the ice cream.
Okay.
I think that's ice cream.
All right. Gelato. So, yeah. However, I'm gonna put this out into the universe, which I have put out into the universe before. I do want Ben and Jerry's to make a banana pudding ice cream. Thank you.
Ooh, girl. Bits of vanilla wafers in there. Oh, Jesus.
Right?
With a caramel ribbon.
Right? Hello.
We need to be working at Ben and Jerry's, baby.
Well, girl, I tweeted this to them and they started following me, but they never tweeted me back and they never came out with the banana pudding ice cream. I've been waiting for this for like 3 years now.
That is raggedy. We need to come on with it. That sounds so good.
So good.
Oh my god.
What are your favorites?
Okay, my initial favorite, of course, is just chocolate chip. I love chocolate chip ice cream.
Chocolate chip?
Yeah, chocolate chip.
Okay.
I love chocolate chip ice cream. Not mint chocolate chip. That shit is disgusting.
Ooh.
Yuck. But chocolate chip ice cream, that's my regular, just, you know, I mean, my go-to is vanilla, of course. But chocolate chip is my favorite ice cream. No brand I've ever had has messed up chocolate chip. So that's why I like it, because it's usually really good with every brand that you get. Could be cheap key food brand, or you can get Breyers, you can get Ben & Jerry's. It all tastes good.
Okay.
My favorite brand of ice cream, of course, is Blue Bell, because Blue Bell tastes like home. That's their slogan.
That's what it is?
Yeah, I think so, because I heard a song on the commercial the other day, and they say Blue Bell tastes like home. I love it. Oh, no, Blue Bell tastes like the good old days. That's what they said. Blue Bell tastes like the good old days.
Okay.
And it definitely does. Blue Bell ice cream is so delicious. I love red velvet ice cream. Publix ice cream is a close second, because they, you know, Blue Bell is like the major ice cream that we have down south. And so Publix always tries to contend with the, you know, national brand favorite. So Publix has this, or they had this fried ice cream flavor. Oh my god, it had, you know, I don't know what they put on top of fried ice cream, that hard shell, but they had little bits of it in there.
Ooh.
And they had like this ribbon of dulce de leche, and it was like a caramel vanilla ice cream. Oh my god, it was so good. So good. And they only sell it, I mean, it's hot year round in Florida, but they only sell it during the summertime.
Wow.
That one, that fried ice cream one. Red velvet is another one that I really, really love.
Mm.
I hate chocolate ice cream. However, Ben and Jerry's fish food, it's chocolate ice cream with ribbons of creamy marshmallow, and then it's got bits, little chocolate fish in there, and the chocolate fish are filled with caramel. Oh, my God.
She about to catch the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord, honey. Take me, Jesus, because that ice cream there is so, like, you can't get me to eat chocolate ice cream, but if it's Ben & Jerry's fish food, please give me a pint. Thank you. Please and thanks. Ben & Jerry's had another flavor that I tried. I think it was the Jimmy Fallon one, and it had, like, potato chips in it. It actually wasn't bad. It had bits of potato chips in it. It was really good. And I was like, this is so fat. It was vanilla ice cream with chocolate bits in it. Like these big chocolate chunks, and they were so good. And then little bits of crushed potato chips in there. And I was like, let me try this. I know it's going to be disgusting, but it was like 2 for $5. So, you know, I just got it. And I went back and I got another 2 of them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so good. I don't know if they still make it, but I know it was a flavor that Jimmy Fallon created. And then they put it in stores. That's good, too. Let me see. Trying to think of anything else. I mean, I love Dulce de Leche ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
That's delicious. I love milkshakes that have ice cream in them.
Yes.
Love them.
So,
you know who has good milkshakes, which is very, I mean, I don't know if it's very surprising, but Baskin Robbins milkshakes are not bad.
Never had them.
Oh my God, they're really good. They're good because they're not super thick and you won't get a hernia trying to suck up the milkshake. Yeah, they do them. They make them really, really good. Because the thing is that, like, Cold Stone, their milkshakes are very thick. Very, very thick.
I love thick milkshakes.
I like thick milkshakes, too. However, I want to be able to suck it up, and that's what she said.
Oh, snap. So, in New York City, there is a ice cream shop called Odd Fellows, and I want to try it. Let's listen to some of their flavors that they have. They have chorizo caramel swirl.
Wait, stop. You said chorizo.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
S'mores.
Okay.
Tobacco leaf smoked chili huckleberry. These are crazy flavors, but apparently it's like one of the best ice cream shops here. Buttermilk biscuit. They have an olive oil one that I heard is actually amazing. That's what Miss Abby Perkins said, who is now Abby Does What? Thai ice cream, burnt marshmallow,
okay.
Coconut dulce de leche, ginger caramelized banana walnut.
Oh.
Peanut butter and jelly with toast.
I bet you that's so good. I can't have it.
Oatmeal cookie dough.
Nope.
Burnt caramel.
Yes.
Cornbread, which she said also was very good.
That sounded like it would taste good.
Maple bacon pecan.
Oh, man, the pecans.
Sprinkles. Lychee sorbet.
Nope. I hate lychee.
There's other ones. Cinnamon blackberry sorbet. I mean, it's just a lot of different flavors to try. I would be willing to try some different flavors.
Yeah, I would definitely be willing to try some different, because I love that. I love, you know, stepping outside of the box. I want people to try new things. So I'm not against trying new things. However, you're going to have to give me just a little scoop of the chorizo, because I don't know how that's going to taste. That just sounds weird to me.
Right.
Chorizo is so savory, so
I've never had a savory ice cream before, so.
Neither have I. And chorizo is very savory and spicy. So, yeah, that's a very weird flavor.
Yeah. Huh. But, I mean, hey, it's National Ice Cream Month.
It is National Ice Cream Month, so that's what we should do. We should just go there and go try them all.
Yeah, go get you some. Ow.
If you're in South Florida, definitely go to Jackson's. If you're ever in Fort Lauderdale or even in Miami, drive up to Dania Beach. It's about a 25 minute drive, and go to Jackson's. It's spelled JAXSON apostrophe S. The ice cream there is phenomenal. It's so good. And they even have something called the kitchen sink, where they fill a kitchen sink of ice cream.
Oh my goodness.
They fill it up with just spoonfuls of ice cream. Now, however, if you are a germaphobe like myself, you will not want to eat that with people that you don't know. Because that's just nasty. Because you have to double dip. I mean, it's ice cream. So, you got to go there with family, and you got to go there with people that you know are clean.
Yes. Definitely.
If you're going to have the kitchen sink. However, they have really good shakes, really good sundaes, really good banana splits. When's the last time you had a banana split?
I don't eat banana splits. Never had one.
You should try one. They're delicious. They're absolutely. The first time I had one, I was like, why did I wait so long to have one?
Really?
Yes. Like, I didn't get, I was like, why did I wait so, I was so mad at myself for waiting so long to have one. Because for me, it was kind of weird, ice cream and bananas, but it is, it's just perfect. You just have your banana and you have 3 scoops of vanilla ice cream, and then you put some whipped cream and chocolate sauce and sprinkles and a cherry on top. It's delicious. You can have my cherry, though. I don't like cherries.
I don't like cherries either, so.
Yeah, I don't like cherries. But it was really, really good the first time I had one. And they are fantastic at Jackson's. So, please make sure you go there. However, they don't have funky flavors like Oddfellows, which I'm actually quite intrigued about the chorizo. It sounds disgusting, but I'm still going to try it just to say I did. Just to say I did.
I think that's a good option.
Yeah. We should, I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I'm all for a field trip.
Yes. And yeah, let's do that. Wait, oh, so for things for that you can do for national, to celebrate National Ice Cream Month, you can eat a different flavor of ice cream each day of the month, and you might discover a new favorite, and you might discover that you're going to get fat.
Hello, right.
You can serve a giant ice cream sundae in a clean, brand new rain gutter and invite neighbors to help you eat it. What? That's very white. You can make ice cream mobile with empty cartons from your favorite flavors. You can make instruments with empty ice cream cartons. So this means that you get to eat the ice cream first. Or you can have an ice cream movie date. That's cute. You can write a poem or a story about ice cream. You can decorate an ice cream bowl. You can make some handmade ice cream, some homemade ice cream. Now that's what I really want to do. I want to make some homemade ice cream.
Yeah, I would definitely want to do that one day too.
Yeah. I did that once when I was like in middle school. My best friend from middle school, her mom had an ice cream maker, and it was so much fun to make it. But there was like a lot of steps. Now I think all you have to do is just put in milk and sugar, and the machine just does it all itself.
Probably. But
before, you had to like get salt and sugar, and then put salt on the outer rim of the machine, and then you had to churn it, and there had to be ice. Like, it was an ordeal, but it was so much fun because you made your own ice cream. And the ice cream that we made was, you know, pretty good. We just made some regular vanilla ice cream, but her mom had bought like real vanilla bean, and we like cut it open and scraped out the vanilla and put it into the milk, and wow. it was a lot of fun. I would definitely want an ice cream maker like that. I don't want one that's just, you know, just put the milk and the sugar in and boom, there you go, ice cream. That's not making ice cream.
No. You should make your own butter.
Ooh, yeah. That would be fun.
I want to make avocado butter one day.
Ooh, yeah. There's another butter that I want to make, but we can talk about that on there.
Huh?
Today. I said there's another butter that I want to make, but we can't talk about that on the air.
Oh. Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. Oh. Did you?
Stefan Burden over there.
I'm like, what is this chick talking about?
Well,
you got it. My carry wash is in.
I think someone needs a drink, maybe, or maybe not. I don't know. So I think it's cocktail time.
I agree. What are we having to drink?
Well, the drink of the week is called the Good Humor. Get it? Like the ice cream? So what you're going to need is 2 scoops of vanilla ice cream, 5 ounces of half an ounce of light rum, half an ounce of coconut rum, 1 ounce of Kahlua, and half an ounce of Bacardi 151. Oof. So you're going to need a blender as well. Sorry. You're going to put all of that into a blender on medium speed, mix till the ice cream is smooth and liquefied, and then pour into a highball glass and enjoy.
Ow. And there you have it. That's it. It's a
Good Humor. Yummy.
I'm with it.
Yeah, me too. And it's a nice, cool, refreshing drink. It's kind of like a milkshake, but there's no milk that's put into it other than ice cream. But it's definitely going to get you tipsy.
A little bit with that Kahlua and the rum. Ow.
Yeah. All right. And there's 3 different kinds of rum in there. Coconut rum, light rum, and Bacardi 151. You're going to be on the floor, baby girl.
Yeah.
far.
I'm with it. Give me my straw. Give me my straw.
Give me my straw. I'm slamming my screen door.
Wake up, Bernice.
Anywho, so is that the end of our show?
I think it is.
Aww. Well, where can we find you, Ari?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Shree. What about you, Dee Dee?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well, Lucky Stars, LuckiestarZ. You can find us, the show, on Twitter, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/catnapsandcognac. We're also on the Podbean website, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com. We are on iTunes. Just search for Catnaps and Cognac and we'll pop right up. Don't forget to rate us and leave us some comments and also like our page on Facebook. We're also on the Spreaker Network, so check us out there. And I think I said all of them.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, well, that's it. So we'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys next time. Bye. Bye.
Rap niggas get all up in your guts. Prince Vanilla, butter, pecan, chocolate deluxe. Even caramel sundaes is getting touched.